MTV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studios in Midtown Manhattan. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to look at the fallout from the loss to the Patriots and get ready for the Packers to take on the Dolphins at Lambeau Field. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Marquez Valdez Scantling.
We got the bad, we got
Ron, how the hell do I have a job, Zook?
We got the ugly, we got
Aaron Jones finally getting the call and putting the rock on the carpet. Don't like to see it. It's ugly. Entire game swung on it. I get people are upset. You put Aaron Jones in the ugly. He had a decent performance. If you turn the ball over, you are in the ugly. I'm sorry. It's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, Ryan Grant had 200 yards in a playoff game. I still put him in the ugly. You know why? Because he put the ball on the ground twice. He gave me crap about that afterwards. But those are the rules.
At least he didn't block you.
You can't turn the ball over. What's funny is, like, he didn't block me, right? But all these other, like, you know, thin.
He seems like the kind of guy that can take it, though. He's from New York.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't care. He does not care. How you doing, Banky?
I'm good.
Very good.
I'm good. It's a good Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. The Packers back in the practice field. There's some news to get to, so let's get to it.
All right.
Geronimo Allison. Really promising beginning this season. Now sent to injured reserve.
Yikes.
Dealing with a groin injury. Saw a specialist out there in Philadelphia having surgery. Could possibly be back if they make a playoff push.
What do you mean if? Run. What are you talking about if, Nagler?
You hear what I'm saying.
Nagler.
You hear what I'm
saying,
Nagler.
Don't make me go off script, Nagler.
Too late.
Don't make me.
Second bullet point news-wise, Kevin King. Oft-injured Kevin King.
King Kevo.
Most likely will not play against the Dolphins due to that hamstring injury he suffered against the Patriots. This is becoming a recurring theme, Banky. This Kevin King showing up on the injury report, not being available for games. Don't like it. It's an ugly trend. Next up, we have the release, straight up release of safety Jermaine Whitehead.
Wow.
I mean, I get it. He screwed up on
Brian Gutekunst, do not play.
Gutekunst is like, yo, look, if you're a replacement level player, and you do something like get yourself thrown out of a game at the end of the first half and make us have to scramble in the secondary, not because you got injured, but because you did something stupid.
You replaced yourself.
You are a replacement level player, which means you're going to be replaced.
Although, that termination, come on.
I mean, as...
That was ticky-tack.
Well, okay, the ejection was ridiculous. As McCarthy said on Monday, or was it earlier today, point blank, you know, it's clear he's a retaliator. They always get the second guy. Someone, you know, he gets hit. He gets pushed.
He was stupid. You can't do it. But the fact that the NFL is ejecting players for hitting people in their face mask, like, everybody should get ejected.
Exactly.
And also, like, how stupid are the refs, right? If you see something,
right,
there's like a 99% chance that it's a retaliatory move. There's a really good chance you didn't see the first thing that happened.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
You don't need to be a principal or a middle school teacher to understand how, like, fights happen.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously.
And how they evolve.
You know the problem? The problem is all the refs were the kids that got picked on and beat up, probably. So they don't even know how a fight happens because, like, they're just at the end of it.
Drilling it down right here. I like it.
It goes right down. It's like, oh, you were the nerdy, geeky kid like me in school, and you decided, I'm going to bring my control game to this game, and I'm going to stop these bullies.
King clip-on ties, marshaling their forces there on the football field. So, yeah, Jermaine Whitehead, by all accounts, and I asked around a little bit behind the scenes, and it sure sounds like there were other factors. No one will say what those were, but it sure seems like this was a culmination of things that the final straw was the ejection and leaving them high and dry. And it was a pretty big game. So, Jermaine Whitehead, Pack your bags. See you later. Next up, we have Ibrahim Campbell.
Who?
A safety.
Oh, okay.
From the Jets. Claimed on waivers.
All right.
So exit Whitehead, enter Campbell. Interesting note, Campbell was a rookie. Mike Pettine's last year in Cleveland.
Interesting.
So at least he's got a little bit of experience in the scheme. And finally, well, not finally, but next up, we got Trevor Davis back on the practice field.
Ooh, that's good.
I mean, sure, would indicate that they are planning to activate him next week. He is not available for Sunday's game against Miami, but he will be available for the game against the Seahawks. So,
can I show you something?
Sure. Oh, no.
That's where the player ended up. No, look at the image. Man.
Perfect. Perfect. Nailed it.
That's the thumbnail, guys. Me going like this is the thumbnail for this show. Great.
But yeah, so bring on a safety, take out a safety.
What?
Trevor Davis.
Was Jermaine Whitehead really a safety?
Well, he was a
in name only
slash linebacker.
He was a sino.
Yeah.
Safety in name only.
I know.
Oh yeah.
But I like Trevor Davis coming back simply because they need a return
man.
They
need a return man
so
badly.
Both punts and kickoffs.
You know why they need a return man? So you can stop saying 1,000-year-old Tremont Williams. If only for that, Nagler.
I'm just saying.
I'll be happy when that happens.
Just saying. For those of you who don't know what Banky's referencing, I usually age Tremont during the watch parties. So yes, Trevor Davis is back. And finally, we don't have video for this, but I want to give a shout out to the Green Bay Packers for doing right by J.K. Scott. They clearly, it was funny. This is one of those times where it was funny because Kyle Brandt was talking about it on NFL Network about how reputable media outlets didn't know what was going on. They signed a punter on Saturday night and everyone was freaking out online. And like, but and this is one of those instances that Corey was talking about. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago where, like, you know stuff, but you just don't go blabbing it or reporting it because you're just a human being. You're not a reporter.
Yeah.
It's like you knew that the whole reason that was happening was because they were, like, guarding against having to send J.K. Scott home for the birth of his child.
Yeah.
But, like, it was funny watching Twitter, like, just explode with, like, what is this? Why aren't they signing Bruce Irvin? Which they couldn't do at that point anyway. But it was just, like, this explosion of activity when it was, like, the Packers doing something pretty amazing and allowing for the possibility that J.K. Scott would have to fly home. They had
a plane ready.
Private.
You know how much money you got to drop to have a plane ready?
Private
charter.
Charter plane to take J.K. Scott back to Wisconsin.
That's some serious dough.
In case his wife went into labor.
Good on them.
I mean, that's how.
Yeah, I knew about it. It's so funny. Look, everybody's so used to everything just being right available at your fingertips that when it's not, everybody just jumps to conclusions.
Or gets upset. Yeah. And, like, you know.
He's not.
This is a failure of leadership by the Packers. Like, dude, okay, relax.
Well, you know what's missing in today's age?
Oh, boy, this should be good.
Context. Yeah. Context, basically. Yeah,
that's true.
Like, no one cares about context. They don't care, like, I don't have all of the pieces or the facts. I'm just going to jump to conclusions because if I jump to conclusions before everyone else and there's a possibility that I'm right and I'll be first,
yeah.
You know, I blame that on journalism. I blame that on
right.
clickbaiting journalists like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Green Bay Press Gazette because they basically, everybody's got to get to the story.
August Fear is later in the show.
Everybody's got to get to the story, but it doesn't matter if the story's correct.
Hey, to be fair, I think the Journal Sentinel and the Green Bay Press Gazette were pretty restrained in their reporting.
Yeah.
Most of the speculation and awfulness was like other places.
Until they pay me back for training camp, I'm just going to blame them.
We never told that story.
We'll tell that story one day, but first we got to get the Packers a little better.
A little better indeed. Talk about needing to get better. Let's talk about the offense. Can we talk about the offense first?
Woo!
Can we talk about how frustrating
the offense is? I think that's the third rail.
Is?
I think the offense is the third rail.
It's so frustrating to watch. And the biggest point, the biggest frustration, there's two of them for me. Obviously, there's the time management issue. But the big thing is the red zone woes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that used to be able to, they would move down the field, they would get into the red zone, and it was near automatic. Now you bring you. So, now I'm just going to say it. Subtract Edgar Bennett. Add Joe Philbin. Add a supposed red zone weapon in Jimmy Graham. And now you got nothing but problems in the red zone.
I'm going to say one thing about that, that you make a really good point. A rare good point. But you make a good point. No, I was trying to get you to do a spit take so badly right there. I was so trying. Close. I saw you drinking close. And I was like,
very close.
I can get him. Sometimes the show just comes down to whether I can give you a spit take or not.
Right, exactly.
Everyone, because they love nothing more than to say how much I don't know about football. Oh, and even you last year, when I was like, what? Edgar Bennett has done this ascension, right? Now, I did think Edgar Bennett had to go to a different team.
Right.
But everybody just poo-pooed the fact that Edgar Bennett doesn't know anything. He's just a running backs coach. But I think it's a really good point. You take him out of this team. You take some of the coaches that we – what happened? Like, that was a consistent thing.
Yes.
Joe Philbin failed in Miami. Failed.
Yeah, he did. As a head coach, that's very different, though.
Failed.
He did.
He failed.
Yes, of course he did.
So, yeah.
Ben McAdoo failed in New York.
Failed.
You know, that's one job. These are different jobs. But to be fair, Philbin's addition has certainly not translated into anything close to what you would call improvement, consistency. It's just baffling to me where they used to march down the field on opening drives and score. That was just a given. That's what, like, for all the other issues and problems they had last year, they scored on their opening drives more often than not, almost all of them.
Well, what do you think that is?
Well, I think they came close to cracking it last week until they came to the fucking time issue. And that was the thing that kind of went mini-viral after our watch party, me losing it and tearing apart Packer Man. Because, look, Mike McCarthy gets all the heat, and I understand people love to hate Mike McCarthy. We get that. But Aaron Rodgers is part of the problem, too.
Well, and do you buy into that?
No one ever wants to talk about that. No one ever wants to say, like, oh, Golden Boy, he's untouchable. Rodgers is part of the problem.
But do you buy into that?
100,000%.
So do you buy into, you know, whatever happened to the first 15 plays being scripted? Do you buy into the fact that
they
are?
Haven't done that in a long time.
But do you buy into the fact that, like, he just can change a play anytime he wants?
Well, majority of the time, yeah.
Okay.
He has options on almost every single play. Now, how much of that he's doing, how much of it is him doing it within the structure, and how much of it is him seriously 100% changing, like completely changing it, that's up for debate and really unknowable from the outside. But I'll tell you, when you're constantly getting down to 1 second on the play clock, we've talked about it before, defenses can just pin their ears back.
Yeah.
And look, like that opening drive is a perfect example where he throws it up, right? It's an incomplete pass. Incomplete pass. So the clock is stopped, and going into third down, Rodgers is tying his shoe. And then coming out of tying his shoe, he gets up to the line, and he's completely nonchalant. Oh, okay, you go here. You giving signals, whatever. And then he's calling the thing, and Corey Linsley's adjusting protection. We're down to like 3 seconds now. It's like, okay, you're tying your shoe. Great, tie your shoe. But then when you get up done from tying your shoe, you got to go. But, like, there's no urgency. And Rodgers is part of that. I don't care. You can blame McCarthy all you want. Yes, he's absolutely culpable. But it's a partnership. Both partners have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I see is people ripping on McCarthy. With good reason.
But Rodgers, I mean, if you look at his press conference, he's owning the fact that a lot of it's
he
on
did him. On Sunday night. 100%. Much more than he did after the Buffalo game where he came out and was really petulant and whiny about the game plan or whatever, which, he's got legitimate points. I do not take that away from him. But Sunday was, like, the real first time I saw him come out and really own it, really say, like, I've got to play better. I'm really disappointing myself. I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
He has got to hold up his end of the bargain.
But how much do you think, like, I just wonder, here's the things that I wonder as a fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day, right, they sit in coaches and they got the quarterback meeting, right?
Yeah.
So, do you ever think that, you know, McCarthy and Philbin, quarterback's coach, who I don't know who it is, it's not Tom Clement, that's the last quarterback coach I remember, because I don't really care. Do you think that those three coaches, plus Aaron Rodgers, plus the backups, right, look at each drive and grade him on what he decided. Like, hey, you had three options here.
A billion percent they do.
So
absolutely. He's graded on every single decision and every, not only just on where he goes with the football, but what adjustments he made at the line, given what they're given, what he's looking at defensively. All of that is graded. It's all, it's, there's three, like there's plus, minus.
But then how do you change that? How do you like put more of a quote unquote leash on him?
Well, at this point, you can't. Planning, but that's part of the problem, is that their relationship has evolved in a way where Mike has acquiesced to Rodgers in such a way that how does he turn around now and say, Aaron, we're gonna dial it back a little bit. We're going to take a little control. And to be fair, Mike did say earlier this year, you know, Rodgers was – it was after that Buffalo game where Rodgers went off in the media. And McCarthy had a great quote. He's like – it's like he equated it to Seabiscuit or the, you know, a famous horse. Where he's like, he wants to run. And it's my job as a play caller, my job as a coach to kind of pull back on the reins a little bit. I think he's not pulling back enough. I think he's got to help his quarterback. I've beat this drum for years. When Rodgers struggles, rather than, okay, we're going to just keep opening it up and hope that Aaron finds Aaron. No. Pull it back. Run the ball more. Get limit his ability at the line of scrimmage. Go for your game. You do your game planning meetings all week. You look at the film. You look at the weaknesses that you're facing defensively in your opponent. Trust that work and go to town. Like, you're just this wide open ability for your quarterback to change everything almost, not always, but almost all of the time. Yeah. Is just leading to middling results that leave you stubbing your toe again and again.
There has to be a variable, right, that we don't know or don't see.
Oh, I do. There's,
if not multiple,
there's no way that there isn't. You know, absolutely.
There's some 100%. Kind of variable there that either there's an obstacle to McCarthy reigning in his quarterback.
Well, there's his contract. It's hard to turn around after you've paid the guy $1 billion, you know, and say, you know, you've clearly made the commitment saying,
I guess,
you are the face of the franchise. You're the most important person in the building. Everybody knows that. So it's got to be hard for a coach to turn around and say, especially one who's given his quarterback control of the offense for years.
I guess.
Turn around and say,
that's what you
I'm taking it all back.
Look, that's what Mike gets paid for too, though.
That is 100% what Mike gets paid
for. You know,
and that's why I get frustrated.
A lot of these things are psychology, right? It's like, hey, you know, your knee's messed up. Like, let's do this. What about this? What about this? And get buy-in, right? And maybe that's where people are so mad at McCarthy because, I don't know why, but that's why people seem to be really mad at McCarthy, because they feel like he's lost this team somehow.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like that at times. I love Brandon Jones on the chat here. Yeah, don't tie your shoe, Rodgers. Mike McCarthy is dual play. Yo, didn't say don't tie your shoe, Rodgers. I said get up and go. There's got to be a sense of urgency. But again, Aaron Rodgers, untouchable for the internet. Oh, if you say something, oh, you precious Rodgers might get his feelings hurt. I'm so sick of it. I am so sick.
I can't wait till he blocks
you on Twitter. Of Aaron Rodgers.
I can't wait till he blocks you on Twitter.
He would never block me on Twitter. He doesn't care enough to block me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That would mean he actually.
That would mean he would, like, acknowledge my existence. You know?
Because then you could have a nice screenshot that said Aaron Rodgers is blocking you.
Well, when he used to, like, you know, have his radio show, he did call me out. And that was the last time he acknowledged my existence, other than answering my questions in Scrum. But, you know.
But this whole, like, Aaron Rodgers, oh, he's so untouchable. I'm so over it. I'm so done.
Like, he is not playing well, and he knows it. It is time for him to step up. They just played the two of, if not the two best teams in the NFL. Right? That's the benchmark. And they didn't get it done. And a big part of it is because he didn't play as well as he could and should have.
Yeah.
If you build your entire team around a player because of his ability, he needs to play to that ability.
The other thing is he thinks he can outrun a linebacker.
Okay,
all of that
is just...
Why?
It's just done. Like, you're not that guy anymore, dude. You're not. Even if you're fully healthy, you're not that
guy. But here's the thing. Like, everybody talks about, like, you watch him, how cerebral he is, right? How... Okay. They're cerebral... Then there's self-awareness. And I think he has really good self-awareness, but how unself-aware do you have to be to think that you, the quarterback, can beat an NFL linebacker around the outside.
That's the thing, though. He used to be able to do that.
And now, not in that play.
Yes, 100%.
That guy, there's no way, dude.
Look, he's done it before. 100% he could.
Dude, that linebacker was spying.
Five
linebacker
years ago,
was spying like
5 years,
a mofo.
He could have done it. 5 years ago, he could have done it.
5 years ago?
That's my point, though. He's not that guy anymore.
5 years ago,
is a lot.
I could do a lot of things.
I know. That's my point. And look.
I could eat cheese 5 years ago.
And look, so could Aaron Rodgers. Okay, but here's my thing. People think I hate Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. I'm a Favre guy, all that nonsense.
You're paid by the Packers. The
I'm totally paid.
That's what they're saying on the chat.
Of course, I am. I totally am. I wish I was paid by the Packers because I'd be paid a lot more, but I love Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a fucking Jedi master, but he's not above reproach. He's not flawless. And the idea that anytime you say anything to criticize the guy, all of a sudden you're being paid by the Packers or, oh, you just hate Rodgers. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, but aren't most of
and it's such small thinking.
But aren't most of the people that are doing that, they have like an egg as their avatar?
Sometimes. Not always.
Or they have two followers?
Often. Not always, though.
Like when somebody has two followers on Twitter, not to hate on somebody who has two followers on Twitter, but seriously.
I mean, if you have like, three, that's the benchmark.
Like, if you have two followers, like, really? You don't know more than two people?
Yeah, but a lot of time, that's just someone making another account because they got blocked or muted by someone originally, you know? Oftentimes, anyway.
Yeah, so it's a red flag in Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I don't respond to most of those. I mean, why would
you? Yeah, if you have an egg, if you have an egg as your avatar.
Oh, no, I don't think. I said, someone the other day said.
Does it even do the egg anymore?
Yeah, no, it's not an egg. It's like a silhouette.
Oh.
But I said, someone said, if you want to be taken seriously as a journalist, like.
Oh, yeah, okay, I saw that.
Being hilarious. Not a journalist. But thanks, coach. But like, if you want to be taken seriously as a journalist, you need to do X, Y, Z. And I said, if you want me to take this tweet seriously, you need to upload a fucking picture, dude. Like, come on. Should we get back on script?
Hey, you're the one that got off it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers.
That's why we have the third, buddy.
Okay, talking about people that need to step up their play.
Yeah.
Both guards on the offensive line, both Lane Taylor and Byron Bell, need to step the fuck up.
Mm, Byron Bell, wow.
Byron Bell had a really rough outing. But I would also say Lane Taylor's had a tough 2 weeks as well. And I think Lane is a good player. I like Lane a lot as a guy. I think he's a really solid football player, and I think he excels much more on the run game than he does in pass pro. And the last 2 weeks have been really tough. Now, obviously, he's gone up against Aaron Donald 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
the Patriots did a good job of getting after him on Sunday, but he needs to step up his game. A lot of that interior pressure is what's causing Rodgers to flush out early, miss open guys, etc. You saw the NFL Films clip of Bill Belichick, you know, yelling at his defensive line or defensive front, keep getting after their guards, you know, because they knew that's the weak spot. That's where, and if you can get Rodgers off his mark and running for his life, he's going to get outside. He's going to throw the ball away. We've seen it time and time again. I think Taylor can step up his game. I think Bell is like, that's who he is. And that's going to be a consistent problem throughout the year. So we'll see how it develops. Maybe Mike does something there, more slide protection, more tight ends in the backfield, etc. But that's an issue. That's an issue. And here we go again. Miami's got a good front. They can get after them in the same kind of way. Oh no, you're looking at the chat. You're not even listening to what
I was, but you know what we miss? You were speaking of Mike.
Yeah.
We can play Mike's best and worst.
Oh, right. Right.
We brought it back.
We did bring it back.
Give it some love.
We did.
No, I just think this is funny. Glomar. Corey has all Twitter knowledge, corny jokes, and some Packers knowledge. I don't even understand. He's got like a
giving you props
on there.
Nothing but props. Nothing but props.
I have only corny jokes.
And Packers knowledge.
I don't think my jokes are corny. They might be cheesy, but they're not corny.
Really? We're going to break down cheesy versus corny?
Yeah, you want to do it?
No. All right. So this is Mike's best and worst because, you know, Corey and I were talking. All the talk in the last kind of 48 hours has been about Mike McCarthy and the job he's doing or not doing with the Packers. We used to do this segment called Mike's Best and Worst. We've brought it back. It's going to be up each and every week on YouTube. Make sure you're on our YouTube page. If you're watching on YouTube now, if you're on Facebook, come over to YouTube sometime, subscribe. But here's the return of Mike's Best and Worst.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, a feature that we used to run quite a little bit here around Cheesehead TV, and now we've brought it back since Mike McCarthy seems to be the talk of the town. Now, what we usually do is look at one good thing Mike did each week and one bad thing. Obviously, lots of focus on the bad so far this week, so let's talk about something good that Mike did against the Patriots, which was opening up with the no-huddle offense. It's not getting talked about a lot because the Patriots obviously opened the game with their version of the hurry-up, but the Packers did come out and quicken the pace, something that we've wanted them to do for a good long while. The Packers did it, marched right down the field, and then, of course, got the delay of game penalty and everything went to hell, but opening up with the hurry-up was a good idea, and it's something the Packers need to do more of. And that brings us to the bad side of the ledger, which is the sloppy play and the continued bewilderment when it comes to clock management. Mike needs to rein in his quarterback. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is trying to do way too much, and it's showing up on the football field, especially when it comes to marshaling the line of scrimmage and trying to get everything just right prior to the snap of the football. Just call the play, get up to the line of scrimmage, and go. This offense is ready to break out. They got to get out of their own way, and Mike McCarthy can help them do so. That's it for this week. Make sure you're tuning in to everything we do on YouTube each and every week at youtube.com/cheeseheadtv. Tell your friends, subscribe.
Oh, subscribe is what he's saying there.
Subscribe. Do it.
I always want to address TMOS27. At this point, we should probably just call it Mike's Worst.
I thought that was funny.
That's the whole point. The whole point of the video is Mike does something good that no one talks about every week because all they do is focus on the negative. And if all you want to do is focus on the negative, that's on you. It says more about you than Mike McCarthy.
That's true.
All I want to say.
Speaking of the negative.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
To the defense?
Yeah.
So there's some negative.
There's a lot of positive in that.
But there's
defense.
Some positive. And I thought.
There's more positive than negative.
And to lead it off, we'll talk about Tremont Williams, your boy, who I thought held up.
Yep.
I thought at times he was a liability. When I was coming off the game after watching it live, I thought, oh boy, I don't know about Tremont. But going back and watching it, he held up. He held up okay. He obviously he had the play where he kind of got caught between trying to make an interception and or a tackle where Gordon just goes off. But for the most part, I thought he played really well. And that's a tough assignment in a tough place. You're going against Tom freaking Brady.
Yep.
You've just been moved to safety. You've had maybe 3, 2.5 practices. And now, good luck. I thought Tremont held up really well.
I want to talk about two things that people are just dismissing.
Oh, boy.
Okay. How many fourth down stops is against the Patriots, how many times has Tom Brady been stopped on the goal line on fourth down in his career? I bet it's not that many.
Yeah.
I bet it's not more than 10.
Well, what was funny is like I kept waiting
for
them
amazing.
To just like run it up the gut. That didn't work. Okay, come back and do the Tom Brady sneak. They did it in the middle of the field, but they never did it down by the goal.
Yeah. Then the other thing is the consecutive stops on third down after the stupid roughing the punter.
Yep. Ron Zook. How does he still have a job? I don't know. Zook.
I always think he got fired because when I want to say Ron Zook on Twitter sometimes, and then I'll be like, no, he's not special teams coach. That guy got fired like years ago.
Nope.
No, he didn't.
He's the new Mike.
But
Stock.
The back-to-back stops.
Yeah.
You know, had we got that win.
Three and out. They punt. You rough him. They get another set of downs, and you make them go 3 and out again. That's pretty outstanding.
And how many times that's you know those two for those two things to happen in the same game with this Packers defense?
Yep.
When you look at this Packers defense in the last decade,
it speaks to their potential. It speaks to they fell apart in the fourth quarter again after a bunch of injuries and a stupid ejection. But it's like the potential is there. You see the improvement from when Capers was here, like. It's so close to being a real cohesive unit that can play against anybody, any of the great offenses in the league. And it's funny because it took for 3 quarters, it's 17-17. They held them to 17 points. And one of those touchdowns was that opening drive where they threw the kitchen sink at him and went completely turbo hurry up.
Yeah.
You know, because they knew Mike Pettine knows what McDaniels likes to do, et cetera. So they threw a curveball at him. And even in the fourth quarter when they fell apart, it was off trick plays.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and
they held up. They held up okay.
The inability of the Packer defense to sniff out a reverse for the second time, that hurt.
Well, a reverse and then a reverse throwback screen. I mean,
and the amount of trick plays thrown against the Packers in that game was kind of. Does the Patriots do that all the time?
Not to that extent, but McDaniels.
It felt excessive.
McDaniels had to pull some stuff out, but I think the more disheartening thing, like I don't like trick plays. Yeah. Fine, they're going to practice them. They're really good at them. They called them at the perfect time. You're going to get beat at that more often than not. I get it. That's a really good team with a great offensive coordinator taking advantage of you. That I get. The more disheartening thing was when they decided to just line up and run the football after the turnover.
Yeah.
And Cordell Patterson, their version of Ty Montgomery, just rams it down their throat. That was disheartening. And that's where they really, I think, miss Muhammad Wilkerson. Because it's, you know, Daniels and Clark, as great as they are playing way too many snaps because they can't trust, you know, Montrevious Adams. They're playing Lancaster. They play both of those guys, Lancaster especially, way more than they have in the past. But they still, you know, they don't have the heft up front to hold up for four quarters. And they can hold their own for a stretch.
Yeah. But
after a while, they just get worn down. And then the Patriots took advantage. They just shoved it down their throat. And that's, you know, that's disconcerting. And that's why the Packers need to play with a freaking lead for a change.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Can we talk about someone that, you know, I've held off.
Oh, dear.
I've held off getting too crazy on this guy because, you know, he's a solid football player. But right now, Nick Perry is stealing money from the Green Bay Packers. Okay. I mean, he is stealing. I mean, that game on Sunday night was almost embarrassing from a complete lack of production to just being completely erased. And not only by tackles and guards and offensive linemen, but by tight ends as well. And they ran at Nick Perry with impunity. They just said, okay, you know what, Nick Perry? You're supposedly the best run edge setter on this team. We are just going to obliterate. And that's what they did.
Sign that contract.
At any time.
Sign that contract. It.
They ran right at him.
They can't all be Jordy Nelson with that second contract.
It's so disheartening. I mean, this guy is getting paid a decent amount of money to be absolutely invisible. Invisible. I mean, the only plays he's made this year is when he stuck his arm up when he can't get to the quarterback, of course. So he sticks his hand up and bats the ball down.
I'll take it.
Those are the only plays he's made.
I'll take that.
I guess, because it's all you're going to get.
It's
just frustrating.
I'll definitely take all I can
get. It's just frustrating. I keep waiting, and it was funny. This week in Mike McCarthy Insults Our Intelligence, he was asked about Nick Perry's lack of production, and he said, well, you know, I think Nick's still working back from the injury. The injury. The injury from August. Yeah, still working back from that injury. Okay, coach. All right.
I mean, doesn't everybody play injured in this league?
Yeah, they do, don't they? Amazing. Every man out there with Sunday night is dealing with something.
You know, it is kind of funny that he didn't used to make excuses for players like that.
Not so obviously. He never, you know, he'll never rip on a guy. I mean,
no, well, and you shouldn't. That. I mean, if you're going to have
never done that.
Look, I only have we have 20 employees here. I don't publicly rip on my employees.
No, you do it privately in your office.
Yeah.
To their face.
Yeah. I don't do it in the press.
And guess what?
I don't go on Twitter and say,
guess what?
Gaff, you really screwed up this whole thing and you suck as a producer. I would never do that, you know, publicly.
Right.
Thanks, Corey.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I guess that was public, but that was a joke.
Whatever. It wasn't.
He's fine.
But that's what McCarthy does. He brings people into his office and talks to them one-on-one. I hope he's having a one-on-one with Nick Perry this week because, oh, my God, he's
stealing
money.
I bet he has multiple one-on-ones with Nick Perry.
You know, you see that 100 Seasons hat?
Yes.
That's on your head?
Yes.
You buy that at the pro shop, right?
Yes.
What do you know? Oh, help the Packers win. Shop at the pro shop. He's stealing that money, Corey. The money you pay for that hat is paying Nick Perry's salary. He's stealing it.
That's a lot of Packers 100 hats that he's getting.
Stealing it.
They should just take the inventory and just give it to Nick Perry.
Here, Nick, this week we're not paying you your game check. We're giving you these 100 seasons hats. Finally, on the defensive side of the ball, I wanted to touch on Brashaw and Breland. Expectations were sky high.
Woo!
Couldn't go 30 seconds on Twitter without someone asking me,
when is Brashaw Breland going to play?
When is Breland going to play? Breland going to play this week? Why aren't they signing Breland? Every week when they put out the inactives, Breland's on it. Why is he inactive? Why aren't they playing him? I guess we know now why they wanted to take their time. Because up and down, a little rough. I think you saw promise, but you saw also a guy, you know, who hasn't played a lot of football and was rusty.
Wow.
Grabbing people.
I think rusty is an understatement.
Yeah, well.
He was terrible.
I don't think he was terrible. I think you saw, going back and watching it again, I think there were some good moments. There was good stretches. But he did get taken advantage of a little bit, and he certainly displayed some rust. But hopefully, now he'll get a couple weeks in the system, you know, a couple.
Couple terrible quarterbacks.
Well, he does get Brock Osweiler this week.
Yay!
You know, a couple weeks here. Let's give him some time on the field. And I think the promise is there, but good gracious. At this point, I'm much more about Josh Jackson than I am Brashaw Breland. But that's just me. But I think they're both getting an opportunity to play with Kevin King being out.
I hope so.
So we'll see. All right, let's talk about this Dolphins game that you're going to be at.
Yeah, I am.
You'll be at this game.
I will be.
Maybe. Yes, you will be.
I will be.
They've moved it, 4:25 Eastern, 3:25 Central. It was a noon
game. Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, you have some time to make old fashions.
Oh, I don't have to make old fashions at 9 in the morning.
Well, you can. You just make more. You make old fashions at 9.
No.
At 10.
No.
11.
This means I can, this means, you know what this 1 means?
1 o'clock, 2
this
o'clock.
This means I can go to this wine no tasting way. In Green Bay
right.
on the night before, and I can get
sleep in.
Completely wasted, and I can sleep in, and people won't be showing up my house at 10 a.m.
Sure, Rachel is very happy to hear this plan. But
sweet.
There we go.
This is awesome. You just made my day, Nagler.
All right.
You didn't even know. All you had to do was tell me one thing.
Why I'm here.
You just could have told me that. We could have canceled the show.
I'm just here to make your day, dude. All right. So here's what the Packers need to do. A, number one, 1,000% know where Cameron Wake is at all times. He's a guy who can completely wreck this game for the Packers, especially if, now, Brian Bulaga practiced today in a limited fashion, but there's always a possibility that he can't finish the game. We saw that Sunday night. And in comes Jason Spriggs. And if Jason Spriggs is in there, you've got to put a tight end.
Chip him.
You better get a running back over
Aaron
there.
Aaron Jones.
Call in the National Guard. I want, you know, cancel the three-ring circus. Yeah. You got to know where Cameron Wake is because he will absolutely wreck this offense.
Is there something to Joe Philbin knowing what's going on with these players and who to go after?
A little bit. Maybe a little bit. I mean, Joe Philbin's probably standing up in front of the room right now going, we got to know where Cameron Wake is at all times. He will. Cameron Wake will wreck people. I remember there was a game, was it down in Miami a couple years ago, where they tried to block him with a tight end. And like, yeah, no, you can't do it. I think it was Corliss. You can't do it. Do not block him with a tight end. The other thing they got to be, I think, is on the offensive side of the ball, or I'm sorry, on the defensive side of the ball, be wary of sending pressure because Adam Gase has made a living out of making pressure calls look foolish.
Mm.
The most famous night probably being when the Bears came to Lambeau. They were honoring Brett Favre. Bart Starr was there. Adam Gase was the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. And he proceeded to eat Dom Capers lunch all night. With Jay freaking Cutler.
I hear you on this, but as someone who watched that Boston game, as someone who watched, I mean, you gotta imagine.
You were right next to me watching it.
Mike.
We watched it together.
You gotta imagine that. I mean, we had pressure for days in that game, and they weren't really
Early on in the game.
Yeah. But they weren't really making us pay for it.
It disappeared in the fourth quarter, but.
So I kind of feel like Pettine knows what he. I kind of feel like.
I totally get that Mike Pettine knows more about football than I ever remember. I get that. Or I'll ever know. I get that. I'm just saying, like, with a team that struggles to win one-on-ones, as the Packers do, you are tasked as a defensive coordinator with coming up with ways of pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding ways to get guys free to get after the quarterback. Adam Gase lives for that stuff. His whole career as an offensive play caller, he's been very good at knowing how and when to counter that. So that's all I'm saying. Just be wary. Speaking of Adam Gase, the best way to limit what Gase wants to do or can do is get a lead. Can we get a lead just one time? Just one time?
I think you're asking for too much.
Get a lead. I mean, get a lead. Not like in LA where they got a, you know, they got a lead, but then it wasn't really, they had plenty of opportunities to really blow it open and then they didn't. Like, get a lead. Because Gase will then will be limited, especially with Brock Osweiler at quarterback. Yeah. Brock Osweiler.
Why is
led the Dolphins to victory?
Why is he still in the league?
Because he led the
Because everyone's Dolphins desperate for a quarterback.
Yes, of course. Of course.
He's terrible.
He is terrible. But he can help them win in Lambeau Field.
No, don't say that.
I'm just saying.
Okay, look, it's the Miami
lead is all I'm saying.
Look, what's the temperature supposed to be for this game?
I have no idea.
Okay.
You're the one going to Green Bay.
It's the Miami.
I'll be watching it right here.
It's the Miami studio. It's the Miami Dolphins coming to Lambeau. There is no way that they can play in the cold. Okay. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, okay. All right. We're gonna go with that tried and true trope.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, there is some internal strife in Miami this week. They have a safety who literally quit in the middle of the game last week. I'm dead serious. Like
like Whitehead?
No, Whitehead got thrown out. But this dude, so apparently they were all week working on a rotation, and this guy didn't understand that, yeah, well, no, we're going to rotate the entire game. Jones, the safety, like legit against the Jets, like a division rival.
Oh, yeah, I saw that
just
on TV.
Left
I saw that.
And refused to come back in the game. So all signs point to a discombobulated Dolphins team coming up in the Lambeau. And Mike McCarthy, this is great because they play in Seattle next week, right? On Thursday night, so they have a short week. So the media is always like, oh, what is the travel schedule? What is it? Oh. What is the practice schedule? Because they all got, like, you know, stuff to figure out, whatever. Mike was asked about it today at his press conference, and this is.
Mike, you said you're going to leave for Seattle then Tuesday.
Correct.
Can you kind of walk us through that part of your schedule and decision making?
You want to talk about that Monday after the win, or?
Yes, after the win.
Okay. Right. All right, save your question.
The win.
Boom.
Not the game. The win.
Boom. He talks like me.
I love it. I knew you'd like that. That's for you, Banky.
Look, we have this thing as live producers that I like to talk about. This is going to seem counterintuitive, but it's called visualizing failure. You get that from NASA, right? It's actually a NASA terminology they teach people.
Right.
And because some people are like, you got to visualize wins. So, extremely confident people like Mike McCarthy and myself, we always think we're going to win because we're optimistic people. You only because those people are really good at visualizing failure and they think about that and they never get negative, right? Because they're visualizing the things that are going to happen that are going to go bad and they've got a backup for them, which then makes them confident enough to know that they're going to win.
That's amazing. You just blew my mind.
We teach that here.
I think it's time.
Well, you're going to learn that. Okay. It's definitely time. Hit it, Gav.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Anyway. Someday we'll learn about it.
One day we'll learn about fading that.
That's
all
right. That's all right. It's all good.
We'll learn.
Someone said its forecast is 33 degrees.
Yeah.
Sunday. So enjoy that.
I like it.
Over here.
I like it.
So this week in the Packer Blogosphere. Woo, it's a good one today, Corey. It's a good one.
I just
one.
Looked at what it was.
You did. No idea
I
what we're
no
doing.
I had no idea. I'm like, wait, what happened?
So, our friend Wes Hodquist has a inbox that he has to answer each and every day over there at Packers.com. Well, not every day. Sometimes Spofford does it. Sometimes Wes does it. But so Wes got this question in his inbox. And I love that Rob Domofsky, of all people, put this up on Twitter. Like, he clipped this up.
What?
Yeah. And he says, you showed a lot more restraint than I ever could have, blah, 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 blah. Here's what Wes got asked in the old Packers.com inbox. Wes, do you and Mike get along with the Packer beat writers? meaning Mike Spofford. Ryan Wood from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is, of course, incorrect. Ryan works for the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Whatever.
It's all Gannett.
It's all the same
crap. Offered up something pretty damning in his chat on Monday. I love this. Quote, my initial thought is if you want pom-poms and cheerleading, go read the Packers team-controlled site. Ryan spells it S-I-G-H-T. Unquote. Continuing from the reader, that seems to be the sentiment that you and Mike most disagree with from fans, so I was surprised to hear that from a peer. Now, this was Wes's response. This is epic.
Holy crap, it looks like you got a book there.
This is epic. I love this response. This is Wes. Wes Hodkowitz wrote this.
Oh, here we go.
I competed with the Journal Sentinel for years and have nothing but respect for their writers. In my opinion, Tom Silverstein is one of the best NFL scribes in the country and an important advocate for Wisconsin journalism. Competing against Spoon for stories and news made me a better beat reporter. Gannett is lucky to have him. I also consider Tyler Dunn and Michael Cohen friends. Yes, I work for a team website, but I don't fancy myself as a cheerleader. I'm not nearly athletic enough. Whatever the outside perception of others may be, I sleep well at night. And it's site, S-I-T-E, by the way, not site, S-I-G-H-T. So let me just dive into this
I have a feeling I know what you're going to be unpacking here.
What's that?
There's a lot to unpack
that. What do you think, Corey?
Well, there's...
Let's test our friendship here. How well do you know Aaron Nagler? Am I going to go with this?
There's something missing in that.
What would that be?
I don't know. An answer to the question?
Well, kind of.
It's like the answer is in this winding road that I'm going to give you right here.
Well, kind of. All right. So here's the thing. Everyone on the beat is real cordial. Everyone on the beat is cool with each other. Everyone on the beat talks so much shit behind everybody's back. Everybody's back. I have zero doubt that everyone talks shit about me behind my back.
Oh, yeah. I do.
Of course they do.
I do.
I'm sure they did it while I was on the beat. It's fine. I can't tell you the number of times I have had texts or emails or whatever from whoever about whatever has been said online or in a publication or whatever. Can you believe so-and-so? Like, it's a freaking sewing circle.
It's a high school.
I swear to God. And it's always about the same factions, right?
Yeah.
This whole team-controlled website thing is, oh my, you would have thought. Was it 2 years ago or something? The Packers gave quotes initially to a free agent that they signed to Wes and Mike, but like on the Packers.com. And this is when I was with Gannett. And Ryan and Tom and all these guys got just so... Well, actually, Tom kind of played it off because he's like, this is the game now. But like Mike and Ryan and everyone was so pissed about it. Like, and they said, and they wrote online and something like, oh, it was in the article that they wrote about the free agent signing. They were like, well, you know, according to a team-controlled website, oh my God, you would have thought that they wrote according to a website controlled by Satan, because Rob and Jason Wilde got so upset, they took it as like this total affront to Wes Hodkowitz, who is their friend.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's a fact.
It is.
It's a team-controlled website. Like, well, I don't understand why that's like this huge slight. No one's pretending
it's
like
not.
Wes's checks aren't signed by the Packers.
It's only like that in the bubble.
Exactly.
It's only like that in the bubble.
That's the only place where anyone gives a shit.
Yep. Like, and it's exacerbated, and I've said this before.
Right.
It's exacerbated by the fact that the only thing in my beautiful town that I love so much, there's only one thing there. It's exacerbated by that.
Right. By the fact that the Packers are
exacerbated by the fact that it is the thing. It's the thing I love, right?
Right.
The thing I love, it that's what it is, but you don't get away from it. So, and when you're in the bubble, I mean, I've only seen snippets of the bubble, and everything I've seen, it points to that. It's like, wow, it's not just high school prom. It's like, it's literally like, how can I look at everything as it affects me? It's right. The inability of journalists to understand that they're a part of an entertainment complex.
Absolutely. That's, like, it is
The New York media long ago, right? Understood, hey, we're covering sports. We go in the sports section. Yep. We different than the politicos and all the other people.
Yes.
That never happened in Wisconsin.
No. No, especially with like, well, look.
Never happened. And the other thing that never happened, that there's going to be a reckoning, okay?
Oh, dear.
There are too many writers that no one is reading, okay? when is the last time that anyone, maybe that watches this show, is a bad control group?
Right.
I mean, you know, you pointed out, for instance, we talked about this earlier. You pointed out this great Tom Silverstein article where they buried the lead and there was actual news made. You pointed out the news.
Yesterday, the Whitehead thing where he broke the news that Trevor Davis was getting called up.
And it was buried, right?
But it was totally buried.
So I said, you know what? I don't even read. I love Tom Silverstein. I love his writing.
Right.
I don't read him. I don't have enough time. I have more time to see a video or see a thing or see a tweet or see a thing. And I'm still up to date with stuff, right? Because the world has changed, right? If you told me on Twitter or Jason Wilde told me on Twitter or Wes Hodgkiss, hey, read this article.
You would go read it.
I might read it.
Yeah.
But that's not what anybody's doing anymore. This is not how we're consuming content. I'm consuming content on the New York Times. I'm reading articles. Right. But I'm not reading about the latest, who is reading these articles that are like, long articles about, I mean, like Michael Cohen, who is reading this stuff? I want to see the athletic subscribers, and I want to.
A lot of people are reading it. That's the thing. What's good about the fragmentation of the media landscape is that there are lots of different choices.
Yeah, I love that.
But this idea that, it comes back to it's a team control website that's producing content for the team. They have hired really talented people.
Extremely talented.
And no one's under any illusions who's paying their salary. So I don't understand why it's this huge slight to say it's a team-controlled website.
It's not a slight. But to Wes's point, to even boost Wes more, not only do they have a talented writer, right? All the writers there, not just singling out Wes. But Wes he covered East and West Green Bay sports. He is a local kid. He knows more about the radio landscape, the media landscape, everything going on in Green Bay. So the information he's filtering, the way he's filtering information is through this Wisconsin filter that I love.
That's the other thing.
It's not what's his name that I don't even want to say, who's a moron who they had, Vic Ketchman. It's not this I went to Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's the team. Oh, we're in Green Bay. Okay, let's talk about Green Bay. Oh, Pittsburgh, though. It's not that, right? It's the opposite of that.
That was the greatest 10-second summation of Vic Ketchman's experience at Green Bay
that.
You could write a novel and it would encapsulate it the way that just did. That was amazing.
Well, the only thing I missed was the patriarchy part. Oh, and women. They're weird.
But Pittsburgh, though. That was great. It's just like, okay. Part of it is the Rodney King, can't we all just get along thing? Because, you know, every time that Ryan or Tom or someone from Gannett points out that it's a team-controlled website, Rob or Jason has to, jump to Wes's defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, again, no one's under any illusions here. It's not a slight. It's a fact. So that's it. That was just my thing where I was like, really? We're all going to just, I just don't know.
No one's going to like this, but I feel like there's more bias coming from the other news organizations towards the Packers that gets inherently into the media coverage than there is coming from the Packers. I don't think Wes is writing articles to be like, oh, what are my bosses going to think?
Right.
But you can bet your sweet ass that everybody at Gannett is writing shit, except for Tom Silverstein, about what their bosses think and how they can get a leg up in their thing. And how can I? Because what's crazy is they don't really there's this lack of self-awareness about where they fit in the picture, right? This has happened many times where you've been like, oh, yeah, so-and-so wrote an article. I'd be like, wow. Did they really think that through? Because they just write the article because they're like, oh, I'm a reporter. I just need to write the article, not where this fits in the context of the world that I'm living in right now.
I don't know. To me, it's like, I hear what you're saying about bias. And it is unfortunate that the age-old adage of if it bleeds, it leads is alive and well. And the negative stuff is is what people want.
Yeah.
It's what drives clicks.
We have more viewers when there's a loss.
Exactly. Apps 100%. Your Monday morning web traffic after the Packers lose is exponentially more than a Monday morning after they win. That is just a fact. It's like the numbers prove it week after week, etc. So I understand what you're saying as far as there's a bias to be negative and to drive clicks. But having worked with those guys, I never, ever once, not one time, had any kind of contact, not even just directly, but indirectly, where I was in meetings with people or we were like kicking around story ideas, where anyone, an editor or anybody, said anything close to akin to, well, we got to do this instead of that.
Right.
It was always about the writers being able to say, I think we should, I want to try this or I want to do this or I want to, it's very writer driven.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, those guys aren't living in the current media landscape. They all came up through newspapers. And I think that, to me, is where the gap is.
Yeah.
It's like Wes is working for a 21st century media company.
Yeah.
And
he is.
The rest of them are working for a dying industry.
Yeah, and it's gonna get even more like that model. If you look at esports don't even have they have one company that makes the game. The same company makes the rules.
Right.
The same company makes the players.
The
same company is the broadcast company.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the world we're moving to, and that's where the Packers and that's where everybody is going.
Absolutely. All right, everybody on the chat, I'm sure, is very, very bored.
Bored. They just watch this.
Hey, sometimes we nerd out, man. Sometimes we niche out.
I actually don't think that was nerding out. If we talked about, like, technology, that would be...
That would Nobody wants that. All right, you got anything else you want to spit into the blogosphere here?
Yeah, we're going to win. Come on, let's do it.
I like it. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us across the internet. Be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels, you guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and we'll always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's honorable to take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay, I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?